Sports, or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports
right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. After a 100-day break due to the COVID-19 crisis, English Premier League football was back on Wednesday with two matches. Aston Villa and Sheffield United played to a scoreless draw in Birmingham. And Manchester City defeated visiting Arsenal 3-0 on goals from Raheem Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne, and Phil Foden. Both games were played in near-empty stadiums. Before each match, players and coaches observed a moment of silence in memory of COVID-19 victims. All the players' names on the back of their shirts were replaced with the words Black Lives Matter. The players also took a knee with the referee before the kickoff of the games. The Premier League has joined the international protest campaign sparked by the death last month of George Floyd, a black man, while in police custody in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola spoke at a post-match news conference and said white people should apologize for their treatment of black people. His Spanish coaching counterpart for Arsenal, Mikel Arteta, said he hopes the league's response to the Black Lives Matter movement will help lead to change and racial justice. There will be two more English Premier League matches on Friday. Norwich is at home against Southampton, and Tottenham will take on Manchester United in London. Runaway leader Liverpool, heading toward its first league title in 30 years, will be back on the pitch Sunday against Everton. VOA's Jim Stevenson began his latest game room with Olympic news. Let's give it a listen.
Organizers of the Tokyo Olympic Games, including President Yoshiro Mori and CEO Toshiro Muto, say they will simplify the event, introduce cost-cutting measures, and take into consideration the impact of the global coronavirus pandemic. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach is cautious about the proposals to simplify and downsize next year's games.
Our focus are the athletes, and I think it would be the wrong end to start from if we would take decisions first to reduce the number of athletes and deprive athletes of participating in the Olympic Games.
While Bach ruled out removing events from the Olympic Games, he says a task force will examine where cost reductions could be made in peripheral amenities.
With a reduction in service levels, in the many nice to have things in Olympic Games, we can simplify the games, and we can reduce the cost of the games. And this is, at this moment in time, the full concentration of the task force.
The 66-year-old Bach's main concern is not to deprive athletes of the opportunity to participate at the Olympics. While most of the world gears up for sports behind closed doors, Japan is also getting set for its professional leagues to play without spectators present. Saburo Kawaguchi is the head of the Japan Top League Alliance. I asked the public to come up with an alternative name for games behind closed doors, which has the power to overcome the coronavirus pandemic on June 3rd. The submission was closed on June 9th, then we received 9,156 ideas in a week. I really appreciate that. The Japan Top League Alliance, consisting of the country's 12 top sports leagues, announced the new name Monday in an effort to put a more positive spin on sport without fans. Now I would like to announce a new name for games behind closed doors. It's called Remote Match. In order for the name to give a positive impression, I would like all supporters and the media to use this new term in their daily conversations. Japan lifted its coronavirus state of emergency last month, which allowed professional baseball to announce its resumption on June 19th, while soccer's J-League will restart first division play on July 4th. A momentous moment for New Zealand and for rugby as fans return to stadiums without restrictions for the first time since the COVID-19 outbreaks and countries around the world into lockdown back in March.
This is going to be the first live professional game in the world where there's a live crowd. And I thought I've got to be part of that.
Almost 20,000 tickets had been sold before the opening match between the local Highlanders and the Hamilton-based Chiefs. Walk-ups filled the Forsyth Barr Stadium in Dunedin to its capacity of 22,800 just before kickoff.
I'm so super excited. I'm really glad to be part of like the first crew that are going to go watch a live rugby game for the world. I think it's the anticipation's huge.
There were no restrictions on physical contact. Fans could hug, high five, congregate in groups before and after the match, and fill public transport without wearing masks or social distancing.
I'm super excited. To be honest with you, I've had enough of watching the reruns on the Sky Sports. I'm just ready to crank into it.
New Zealand has almost eradicated COVID-19 after shutting its borders and imposing an early and thorough lockdown. U.S. Major League Soccer is restarting despite the coronavirus pandemic. MLS Commissioner Don Garber says play will kick off July 8th with a World Cup-style tournament in Florida that will take place without fans present.
We just were very uncertain about when we'd be able to return to our stadiums in our home market and thought, why don't we get them all together, get our teams, 26 teams together in one neutral site, play games every day, get our players back on the field for our fans, but very importantly, doing it with games of consequence.
Garber says while in Florida near Disney World, players will be sequestered in a resort and be subject to a rigorous testing protocol.
From the very beginning, we said anything we do has to ensure that we're going to protect the health and safety of our players, all of the staff that will be accompanying them, and those that are going to be working the tournament. There will be testing for those who are traveling down to Orlando before they leave, and when they arrive, they'll be tested regularly during the competition and the training that will precede it, and staffs will be tested.
Even with empty stands, Garber says MLS fans will have much to watch on television.
26 teams, you know, almost 2,000 players and staff coming together to produce several games a day, every day, over a 45-day period.
The league's 26 teams will be divided into six groups for the opening round of the MLS Is Back tournament. 16 teams will advance to the knockout round, with the winners earning a spot in the 2021 CONCACAF Champions League. The group matches will count toward the regular season. MLS teams had played just two games to start the season when the league was suspended on the 12th of March because of the COVID-19 crisis. Commissioner Garber says it's not clear when teams will return to their home stadiums.
We're going to work in accordance with state and local authorities, and as all of us have been doing, following their direction, and when they are opening up and allowing us to play games in our stadiums, we'll be prepared to have a safe and very, very clean environment for both our players, our staff, and in the event that fans are able to attend, being able to assure their safety.
The prize pool for the tournament is $1.1 million, and the MLS Is Back tournament will conclude August 11th.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. Jim's Game Room opens with new stories each week, or you can play anytime at voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of our Music Time in Africa show. Music Time in Africa is the voice of America's longest-running English language program. The award-winning show was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. George McNeely joins us now with a big golf question.
Will there be a Ryder Cup in 2020? Given the COVID-19 pandemic, that's a difficult decision that's expected by the end of this month or soon after. An integral component of the biannual event is the fans cheering loudly and proudly for either Team USA or the European squad. The PGA Tour resumed play with no fans in attendance last week in Fort Worth and continues this week on Hilton Head Island, where we hear from Ricky Fowler.
It's definitely interesting to be out there and not have the fans and the energy. You're still playing against the best players in the world, but you know, not having fans out there is very different. Not knowing how close your ball is, crowd reactions, making a putt for birdie. It's very quiet. It's just whatever happens within your group.
Clearly, Fowler's sentiment is shared by Jim Furyk.
It's strange to play a PGA Tour event without fans. It would be really strange. I mean, just exponentially at a Ryder Cup. I mean, that atmosphere, the, you know, one side getting cheered for, the other side not at all. That's kind of what makes that event. That's what we love as players about that event. And, you know, you get to represent your country, and you feel like you're in a, you know, it's like going to an American football game, right? Most, you know, 90% of the fans there are rooting for one team, and you have that home field advantage. So to miss that would be awkward.
Awkward indeed. So what do? Do you move the Ryder Cup back a year? Once again, Jim Furyk.
Are the options no fans at all? Are the options a limited number of fans? Like we're going to see, I think, on the PGA Tour to start, 100%? Or, you know, what's the option if we don't play? What happens? What's the financial ramifications to the PGA of America if we're able to play under any of those conditions, or if we're not able to play at all?
When you look back on his stellar career at age 50, and he finds himself transitioning eventually to the PGA Tour champions, and he's been such a leader on the tour, and with his charitable foundation that he runs with his wife and family, and he's so active in social responsibility, perhaps there is no more capable player to speak on the business considerations than a big-picture person like Furyk.
The PGA of America represents 28,000 golf professionals around the country, and that event is, you know, that's their pride and joy. That is the event that basically financially allows the golf professionals in our country to do a lot of great work and to grow the game. And so I'm not privy to, even as a past captain, even as a vice captain this year, you know, I'm not privy to understand or know all the answers to those questions. But before I could, I'd say it'd be very awkward to play without fans. But, you know, we need to see a little bit about, I would need to know more about what it means to the organizations, to the PGA Tour, to the PGA of America, to the European Tour for that matter, and European PGA. What's the financial ramifications if we do and we don't play?
PGA Tour player and current Ryder Cup vice captain Jim Furyk. From a corporate perspective, the Ryder Cup becomes a content play with associated advertising and in-program features on the multimedia rights holder networks. Without fans, there's no hospitality. There's no merchandise. There's no guests on site to be buying it or consuming any product. And that's a big loss. For now, the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits is in Kohler, Wisconsin, slated for September 25th through 27th. But time will tell. However, this week, the focus is on the RBC Heritage Classic, where Furyk won in both 2010 and 2015. So if he continues his trajectory of winning there every 5 years, who knows?
My favorite golf course we play on tour, my favorite tournament. So, looks like happy for RBC as well. They title two events on tour, and Canadian Open is not going to be played this year. So to have them have this event is nice. And I think it's different times. Usually we're coming off the Masters. You got guys that like to come down here and kind of decompress, enjoy Hilton Head. Golf course is going to be in a little bit different shape this year, a little bit more Bermuda grass, not the overseed that we see, but we're all excited. Great golf course. I know the players love this area, love Hilton Head. It's a shame that we don't have the fans, but right now we're, you take what you can get.
Two-time RBC Heritage Classic champion Jim Furyk. With a sports business update for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm George McNeely.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Asafa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Earlier in the show, we heard Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber talk about the MLS is Back tournament, which kicks off July 8th in Orlando, Florida. Dan Friedel asked Washington Post soccer writer Stephen Goff if he plans to travel to Orlando to cover the competition.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be in Orlando. It's not a normal situation for the media either. To enter the MLS bubble is something that has not, will media be allowed in that MLS bubble? It has not been determined yet. Outside media, just attending the games as a reporter, there won't be much access at all. They just don't want people in contact with the players in fear of someone becoming infected. This is largely a TV event.
So you may have a chance to do conference calls and things like that and watch it on television remotely here from D.C.
That's possible, too. I'd rather be there. I think there's a lot to be written about. But this is mainly for TV. The games will be on every day in prime time on ESPN and Fox Sports. And this is the way the league wants to reintroduce itself to the sporting public and do it. Hopefully in a safe manner.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these games on my television sometime soon. Steve Goff from the Washington Post, thanks again for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports.
My pleasure, Dan. Anytime.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Gwen Ooten says the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament is on track to take place as scheduled in New York. And Gwen also has news of a biotech firm that hopes a new test will allow sports fans to once again fill empty seats. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In his daily briefing earlier this week, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo gave a progress report on the U.S. state amid the coronavirus pandemic. And after citing the lowest numbers of hospitalizations since the outbreak began, he gave the United States Tennis Association what they've been hoping for, a green light for the U.S. Open tournament.
We're excited about the U.S. Open. It's going to be held in Queens, August 31st to September 13th. It will be held without fans, but we can watch it on TV, and I'll take that. The tennis authority is going to be taking extraordinary precautions, but that's going to occur in Queens. Again, it will be televised, but no fans there.
Tennis tournaments, like various sporting events around the world, have been suspended for months due to COVID-19. And as sports slowly begin to resume, staging competitions and tournaments without fans has become a common theme in the interest of public health. But a genetic testing company called Prenetics has just announced the launch of a digital health passport that could potentially allow matches to be played once again in front of spectators. Avi Lazaro is the Prenetics CEO for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, and he tells Reuters the new technology could literally be a game changer.
So in terms of how we can get fans back in stadiums across sport generally, and across workforces generally, employers getting employees back to work, digital health passports and certainly the solution which we're providing here in the world of sports is going to be one of those tools in the overall solution. So really exciting that we're launching here this clinical digital health passport. I think it's going to be a big game changer in terms of linking COVID-19 testing results. And in fact, in the future, perhaps even other results to a digital access mechanism based on biometrics and other such factors.
The Digital Health Passport is a web-based platform that shows a person's testing status and history of the coronavirus. It's the first of its kind for sports and comes in response to the World Health Organization's call for testing and more testing. Lazaro says the passports could be a viable solution that helps fans fill empty stadiums safely.
COVID-19 testing isn't just about testing, it's about providing solutions. And that solution can be everything from the collection of the actual sample, getting it through the laboratory, doing the analytical testing in the laboratory, and then safely delivering across a secure digital platform the results to all the stakeholders. And I guess the next building block upon that is to be able to link the results into these, what's now termed as digital health passports, which ultimately then could be linked to, for example, accreditation. So in the case of sport, if there's different zones defined, green, yellow, and red, we might want to say that these passports can be used to allow certain players into those designated zones. And of course, with any innovation, with any sort of solution, you're always thinking about what the end goal is. And in this case, for us, it's about getting employers back to work. In the world of sport, it's about getting fans back into the stadium. So on a very general basis in the world of sport, you could see a position whereby fans get scanned in terms of their health passport information very securely to determine whether their test is valid and they've had a negative COVID-19 result.
The Hong Kong-based biotechnology firm has already played a key role in the Premier League. Prenetics tested over 8,600 players and staff for the coronavirus and paved the way for the league to return to the pitch on Wednesday. Meanwhile, professional tennis tours are planning a return to the court. The men's tour is set to resume on August 14th with the City Open right here in Washington, D.C. The first women's event will be staged across the globe in Italy. The women's tennis season will restart with the Palermo Ladies Open beginning on August 3rd. So far, it is unclear whether or not fans will be allowed to attend those tournaments. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. And that wraps up the June 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music from from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat and dumbolo, and makosa to kwaito.